David is a type of Christ. And think of this, okay? Jesus is King of Kings. David was king. Jesus was referred to as prophet. David was referred to as prophet. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, right, of his people. David was a keeper of sheep. These are just some examples. There are many, many more. But what stands out in the life of David as a type of Christ is this. See, Jesus gave us the most incredible illustration by his own life of how humanity is to live in relationship with God the Father. I mean, he gave us that example. He showed us in his earthly life how to live and walk in fellowship with the Father. Can I get an amen? So we look at David, and what do we see? The same illustration. David shows us what it looks like to walk in relationship with Almighty God. So the study of David reveals the personal relationship that he had with God. It is so easy to lose passion for God and to get bogged down in the many responsibilities of life that all of us have. David knew God as the God of salvation, and he kept God at the forefront of his life. Now, David was not perfect in his walk with God. He backslid at times, committed adultery, went through bouts of depression, experienced loneliness. All of these things happened to David. Pretty much sounds like the world in which you and I live, because people deal with all of these issues as well. But David did have a level of faith. He was a hero of faith because David repented. Even though he sinned, even though he messed up, has anybody ever messed up? All of us have, right? We have all messed up. Book of Proverbs says that a righteous person may fall seven times, but he gets up again. See, David did what a hero of faith does. He repented, he got right with God, and he kept worshiping. So we're going to learn some things today that I think that is going to help you with your relationship with God. Because that is what separates the Christian faith from every other religion of the world. The Christian faith is all about relationship. If we are right with God, if we connect to God relationally, connect vertically, then we are able to have success in our relationships horizontally. So if God is at the forefront, then everything else should work right, if God is always in the first place, highest priority. If we keep our relationship with God where it needs to be, we are going to see things happen in our lives. So this first sermon today, I've entitled it, A Man After God's Heart. A Man After God's Own Heart. I want to give you a couple of verses of Scripture. We're going to first of all visit Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, the great Paul the Apostle is at a place called Antioch. And he is preaching the gospel. He is preaching a sermon. And Paul makes a reference to David in his sermon. In verse 17, he begins to, first of all, verse 16, Paul stood up and he gets the attention of the men of Israel and you who fear God. And he says, listen to what I want to say to you. Then he begins his message in verse 17 when he said, the God of this people Israel chose our fathers, exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness because they were a rebellious people for 40 years. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Paul is giving us a brief Old Testament history lesson. But then he goes on in verse 21. He says, afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony. Now this is very powerful, because God gave this testimony in reference to David. He said in verse 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. So God found David, a man after God's own heart. I want to talk to you about that today, because I don't think we really understand what that means. And I want to have revelation of what that means. And I want you as a people of God to have revelation of what that means. That God would say that David is a man after my own heart. Let me give you another verse of scripture. Go with us to the Psalms. Psalms 30. There are 150 psalms in the Bible, in the Old Testament. David wrote over half of them. He wrote over half of the Psalms, 150 of them. And in Psalms 30, I want to zero in on one particular verse of Scripture, and it's verse 5. And it says that the Lord's anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life, all of life. Now, I don't know about you, but that really piques my curiosity, and that excites me. He goes on and he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. All right, so I want to zero in on this idea and this concept that David had favor. How many of you need some favor in your life? See, when you have favor, things are going to happen for you. Now look at what verse 5 says. It says, his anger is only for a moment, but his favor is for life. His favor is for a lifetime. God's favor, his anger is only for a moment, but his favor will last for a lifetime. So I want to talk to you today about favor, because if you are a man after God's own heart, like David was, then there is some favor in your life. And we find in the Bible, if you go through the Old Testament, you'll find it of all the trials and tribulations of God's people, you will find that his favor was upon them. That's why I love the story of Joseph. If you go in the Old Testament and read about Joseph, book of Exodus, Bible tells us that Joseph was sold into slavery, despised by his brothers. I mean, he was mistreated. I mean, he went through all of these bad experiences in his life, thrown into a pit, thrown into a dungeon. But we find this recurring statement throughout the storyline of Joseph. In the midst of all of it, we read over and over again, but the Lord was with Joseph. He was thrown into the pit, but the Lord was with Joseph. He was falsely accused, but the Lord was with Joseph. He was cast into the dungeon, but the Lord was with Joseph. What is that telling us? It's telling us that God operates on a principle of favor. And we read it right here in Psalms 30, where it says that his anger only endures for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. I believe it's time for you and I to wake up and realize that we need to walk in God's favor. Hallelujah. I need some favor in my life. So how do I get it? What is it that would get God's attention? And my friends, there are things that get God's attention. So I want to pose a question to you today. What was it that brought God's favor on David? What was it? What was the key? Before we talk about David's life of worship, I think we need to understand a little bit about the kind of person he was, the heart that he had, because God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. I want to give you a real simple definition for favor. By the way, the word favor in the New Testament comes from the very same Greek word that we get the English word grace. All right, so grace and favor work together. All right, so favor, here's a good definition. Favor is the work of grace in you that causes things to happen that need to happen. And this is what separated David. This is what was so powerful about his walk with God, is that David saw things happening. Now, you might be here today, and there may not be much going on in your life. And I'm here to tell you that can change. And that can change now. That can change from this moment forward. You can have favor. The work of grace in you that causes things to happen that need to happen. See, because a lot of people get stagnated in their relationship with God. They pursue the world. They get caught in wrong relationships. And they hang around with the wrong people. They go to the wrong places. You know, all of these things happen to them, and it stagnates their relationship with God. It stagnates their walk with God. So nothing really happens for them. And that's the reason why. Because they have stagnated. They are not experiencing God's power in their lives. Now, that's not to say God is not working to bring them back to himself, because he is always doing that. God is always working to bring you and I to where he wants us to be, to release potential, to work in our lives, to have his favor, to have this work of grace that causes things to happen that need to happen, and things that may not happen if we are not following after God. So what was it that brought God's favor on David? I want to answer that question today. And I want to give you some things from the Word of God. All right, first of all, and this goes back to the verse that we started in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, because God said in reference to David that I have found a man who will do all of my will. Do y'all see that? That's in verse 22. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. I love the Amplified Bible. It says, who will do all my will and carry out my program fully. So God has a program that he wants to see carried out. So there are things that God wants to accomplish through you and through me. And he wants to see them carried out. See, now we're talking about what favor really is and how it operates. Because David evidently was committed to this. He was committed to the will of God. So, my friends, I ask you, how committed are you to the will of God? Let's consider Jesus. Remember, Jesus and David share a lot of similarities. and David is a type of Christ. So what did Jesus say in reference to carrying out the will of God? I'm going to give you John chapter 5 and verse 30. But before I read that one to you, consider this. Jesus said, he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To finish. Now, let me ask you another question. Was Jesus in favor with God? Absolutely. Luke 2:52, it says that Jesus grew, he increased in favor with God and man. So not only did he have favor, he had increasing favor. Hallelujah. I want some increasing favor today. Praise God. And I believe that we can have it. Increasing favor. So Jesus had the favor of God. Now, was Jesus committed to the will of God? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it, to finish his work. Then we find this in John chapter 5, in verse 30. Jesus, again, giving us some more insight into the will of God. He said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will. Oh, what a key principle that is right there. I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, my friends, think about how many times we do our own will. We make choices many times without consulting God. We make financial decisions many times without consulting God. We may even marry people without consulting God. We may even move out of state without consulting God. If you think about it, many times we do a lot of things without prayer. And the Bible tells us that we should pray about everything. It says pray about everything. Seek God about everything. You see, it's all about acknowledgement. You know, and that's, you know, when we bring our financial contributions, when we bring tithes and offerings into the house of God, we are acknowledging the very provision of God. See, because that's what they did in the Old Testament. And here's an interesting thing about David. See, there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that says, where David says, he says, I will not offer the Lord that which costs me nothing. Anybody familiar with that verse of scripture? I will not offer the Lord that which costs me nothing. Now, that statement, let me give you some background on that statement. See, that statement was based upon a time in David's life where he had lost his passion. He wasn't following God fully. He had backslidden a little bit, or maybe he had backslidden a lot. See, and when they brought the sacrificial offering before God, they were to bring a lamb without spot and without blemish. They were to bring the first of the flock, and it could not have any defects. It had to be perfect. In other words, it was the choice of the litter. So what David did when he was backslidden, he was not bringing the best. He was bringing flawed offerings. Flawed sacrifice. So then when he got right with God, he said, I will not offer the Lord that which costs me nothing. See, now he was going to bring the best, because now his walk was back where it needed to be. He got right with God. He was recommitted to doing the will of God. So now things were different. So he was bringing God. He was acknowledging God's provision. And in the sacrifice, he was going to bring the first, and he was going to bring the best. See, and that's why giving is always tied to the condition of the heart. How much do we serve us? Just giving you some food for thought. How much do we honor God? How much do we acknowledge the Lord? See, people think it's always about dollars and cents. It was never about dollars and cents. It was always about acknowledgement. And David would acknowledge God. He was committed to his will. And the word says that he would do everything that God wanted him to do. When we commit ourselves to God's will and to following his plan and his purpose, we will see things happen in our lives. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, because favor is activated. And when favor is activated, things happen. And David was committed to the will of God. He acknowledged God in everything that he did. You know, a lot of times people come to visit, come to have council meeting on financial problems and financial issues. And I always try to get people to understand the message. You can't reap a harvest if you don't plant something. I mean, it's a principle in Scripture. And you reap after what, you know, everything is after its own kind. So you reap what you plant. So if someone wants to reap a financial harvest, then they have to plant a financial seed. Right? I mean, it's a very simple principle, you know, because you reap, you know, everything reproduces after its own kind. So if you want to reap something in the financial realm, then you sow a seed. And we try to get people to understand that message, you know, because it's all about acknowledgement of God and his provision. It's tied to the condition of the heart. And that's why Jesus said, where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. David had favor. Things were happening in his life because, number one, he was committed to the will of God. And he acknowledged God in all that he did. All right, here's the next thing. Let me go on to number two. He had confidence in God. You know, confidence is an awesome thing. I love this verse of Scripture in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and verse 14, where it says this. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. In other words, the request is going to be granted. Confidence. I love this word confidence. It comes from this Greek word, and it means frankness, bluntness, all outspokenness. It means to be bold without fear. So then that brings us again back to the illustration of David. Now, one of the most well-known Sunday school stories of all time is that of David and Goliath. Right? I mean, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. I think. Maybe they don't. But it's a very well-known story. David facing the giant. Now, it's an interesting story because, you know, David was despised by his brothers. He really was not even favored by his father. And David was relegated to being a keeper of the sheep. And as he watched over those sheep on the side of the hill every night, I believe that David began to commune with God. And he wrote such statements as this: the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows forth the universe, shows forth his handiwork. Another place David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the stars, and all the things that are in the atmosphere, in the universe, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would visit him? You see, when David was sitting on the side of the mountain, he was getting a revelation from Almighty God. He was communing with God. Something was developing in his life. And David developed this confidence. He had this confidence. So while David is keeping the sheep, the Bible tells us that David encountered a lion, and David killed the lion. The Bible tells us David encountered a bear, and David killed the bear. Now, I don't know about you, but if I see a lion, I'm running. If I see a bear, I'm running. If I see a snake, did a wedding last night. Jace Bladsacker and Leah got married last night, and last week at the one of the dinners that we had, she's a real outdoorsman, and she was talking about frogging. And she frogs. And I remember I shared it with her. I said, I said I'm going to tell you my little experience with frogging. I said, when I was probably 16, maybe 17 years old, I said I was with some guys that they were going frogging one night, and they were frogging in these ditches, and they had cement drainage pipes, you know, that ran in the little ditch, and the pipes were probably 20 feet long sections, and you know they had water on each end of it, and you could kind of get in there and look in through that, you know, through that that drain pipe, and we'd have the headlights on, you know, on our heads, you know, because it's nighttime, you know, so we're gigging for those frogs, and every time I would look through that pipe and I would see those big frogs, and they were big. Those big frogs sticking their nose, their face sticking up out of that drainage ditch. I said, "Hey, no way I'm going to grab that frog." I said, "I'm going home." Those frogs freaked me out. You can have it. You know, so a lion, a bear, man, a frog, I'm running. But the Bible says David had a confidence in God. So then when the battle begins and everybody is afraid of the giant, they're afraid of Goliath, and nobody wants to engage him because he was 9 feet tall. That's a big dude. And David was just a little runt of a kid. But then when he goes out to the battlefield, and you know why he went out there? Because he was sent from his house with a bag of cheese to bring to his brothers. So I don't know who provided the crackers, but it was going to be cheese and crackers while they were waiting for something to happen. But David had this confidence in God. He had already killed a lion. He'd already killed a bear. So then he comes into the midst of this and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who thinks that he can deny the God of Israel?" Hallelujah. My friends, that is a confidence. David had this attitude that the giant would go down just like the bear went down, just like the lion went down, and he lived with this confidence. He seemed cocky. He even seemed a little arrogant, but he had this confidence in God. Hallelujah. You know what it was? He was walking in favor. He had favor, and he knew that God was God, and this giant was no match for his God. And that, my friend, is why he had that confidence. When you and I go through trials or tribulations, or we have trouble in this life, we must understand that our God is bigger than any of that. He's more powerful than any of that. Don't lose your confidence. Maintain it. Let me move on. Here's the third thing. Why did David have this kind of favor? It's because he loved the law of God. Let's go to Psalms 119. See, David loved God's law. Psalms 119 gives us some great insight. I want to give you just some verses from this wonderful, incredible psalm. By the way, this is the longest chapter in all of the Bible. 176 verses long. And all of it is about God's word, God's law, his principles, the things that, you know, the truths about God. David loved the law of God. Check this out. Psalms 119, verse 47. Look at what this one says. It says, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. I will meditate on them. The principles of your truth, things that reveal your nature and your character. That's what he's talking about, God's statutes, principles of truth. Look at verse 77. He says, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. It is my delight. David loved the law of God. And because he loved the law of God, David developed keen insight into the ways of God. My friend, every time you pick up a Bible and you begin to read the Word of God, you begin to study the Word of God, supernatural things are going to begin to happen in your life. If we could get that message of what the Word of God does to us, even Jesus said it. He said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them, referring to the disciples. Sanctify them by your truth. John 8:32. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's something about the Word of God. When you involve yourself in the Word of God, when you begin to educate yourself in the Word of God, you will develop keen insight into the ways of God. And that's what happened to David. Because of his daily meditation, not medication now, God gave David wisdom and understanding. What if we had more medication, more meditation, we might not need as much medication. Come on, somebody. Amen? Because think of it. What did the prophet of God say? He said, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he is trusting in God. Hallelujah. He's trusting in God. David meditated. He meditated upon the Word of God. And because he did that, God gave David wisdom and understanding. He gave it to him. I always, in the men's group on Wednesday night, I always challenge the guys that, you know, all of us, and I've been a student of Scripture for 40 years now, but listen, you never stop learning. You never stop growing. You never stop increasing in the things of God. We're talking about supernatural truth. You know, we can't have a full understanding until the day when we get to heaven, and then we'll see clearly, then knowledge will be open and expanded, and we'll know things in a whole different level. But until that day comes, I must be a student of the Word, because the very word disciple means student or learner. So if you are a disciple, then you are a student and you are a learner. So if you are not studying, if you are not learning, if you are not doing something to educate yourself in the Word of God, then guess what? You are failing to fulfill the concept of a disciple. Because it's a very simple explanation. Disciple means student or learner. Now consider this. The Bible teaches us that Jesus who was the Son of God, was a learner of the law. He studied the law of God, the Old Testament. So at age 12, think about it. Age 12, he is disputing in the temple. In other words, he's having dialogue with them. He is having conversation with them. He is debating them. And he's only 12 years old. And it says that people were amazed at his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. Now, because he was the Son of God, was he born with that? No. He was a Jew, so he had to study it. He had to learn it. He had to get into the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, and he had to familiarize himself and learn it and meditate upon it. So then we go into the work of the Gospels, the ministry of Christ through the Gospels, and what do we find Jesus doing? He's quoting verse after verse after verse. He's quoting from the Old Testament. He quotes from the book of Deuteronomy over and over again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, thy strength. He's quoting from the book of Psalms. Did he just get that? No. He educated himself. David had favor because he educated himself. He loved the law of God, just like it says here. Let me give you another one. Let's go to the beginning of Psalms 119. And my friends, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to communicate to you today. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to challenge you to greater levels of spirituality, greater levels of understanding of the Word of God. Look at what Psalms 1 says in the very Psalms 119 in the very first verse. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now let me ask you another question. How can we walk in the law of the Lord if we don't understand what it is? How can you live in the Word of God if you don't understand what the Word of God is? Listen, we have to walk in it. He said, blessed. You know what that word blessed means? Favored. It means those who are fortunate. They are to be envied. Blessed are the undefiled in the way because they walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. See, we must understand as we study the life of David that worship to David was not simply something that he did. Worship to David flowed out of who he was. It was what was going on the inside of him that made him worship the way that he worshiped God. It was what was happening because of God's favor. I have found a man after my own heart. My friends, that is favor. That is favor. And when we begin to live like that, we will see favor in our lives. I must ask myself, do I love the law of God? Do I love his word? Do I have a thirst for the things of God? Listen, we can kind of gauge where we are spiritually based upon where our desire level is. Because it's God who gives us that desire. If I want to seek God, God is going to put that seek in me. Because left to ourselves, Jesus said this, left to ourselves, no one would ever come to Christ. No man can come unless the Father draws him. So we have to respond to the drawing. So if there is something knocking at the door of your heart, you are then faced with a decision. You can ignore it or you can respond to it. Are y'all with me? Amen. If you feel God is pulling you, if he's knocking at the door of your heart, if he's knocking at your heart, then he is drawing you to himself. He wants to bring you into his favor. And we must respond to that because David obeyed God. Remember that. He walked in obedience. So every time we take a step of obedience, we step into a greater level of God's favor. Let me move on. My time's almost away. Here's number four. He had adoration of God because he had a revelation of God. See, he adored God and God's presence because he had a revelation of who God is. Psalms 18, man, I love this. I love this verse of scripture. Psalms 18 and verse 46. Listen to what this says. It says, "The Lord lives." That was his revelation right there. David was not serving a dead God. Hallelujah. Listen, there's a lot of people in the world, they're serving a dead God. But David's God was alive. He had a revelation of that. And he gave us this incredible statement, "The Lord lives. He is alive. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." See, David had adoration of God because he had a revelation of God. He knew that God was living and God was active. To many of David's contemporaries, the worship of God had become ritualistic. But not so for David. My friends, you and I can allow the worship of God to become ritualistic. But David had an awareness of God, and he gave God the glory for all of his accomplishments. Every single one of them. That worship flowed because David's God was alive. Hallelujah. Now we're on the other side of the cross. We're on the other side of the resurrection. You know, and we find that very principle, that thought, that revelation that David had, we find that carried over into the New Testament. So you can go into the book of Romans, and what do we read? "Be alive unto God as those who are alive from the dead. Bring forth fruit, therefore, unto God." Hallelujah. "For the Lord lives." Amen. He lives. Jesus is alive and well. Hebrews 13:8. "He is the same yesterday and today and forever." Hallelujah. "Because he lives," my friends. It was sung in a hymn years ago. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Whatever happens, whatever goes on in this life, we must always realize and understand this world is not our home. We are simply passing through." That's why I always quote James 4:14, "For what is your life?" You know, if you go and read that and put it in context, he says there's a lot of people that say, "Well, tomorrow we're going to do this, and we're going to go there, and we're going to buy, and we're going to sell, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to vacation, and we're going to do all of these things." And then James says, "You don't know what tomorrow will bring forth." Do you know why he said that? Because James was defining people who do all of these things in their life and they never consult God and never acknowledge him. Again, going back to what I've already expounded on. So James picks up on that and he says, "You don't know what a day will bring forth." See, James understood that because Jesus said, "Sufficient unto every day, each day is the evil thereof." So every day is gonna have its own share of things that happen. Evil and wickedness and things that happen. We live in a world that is full of sickness, death, disease, all of those things. But thank God Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for you and I, so that we could be in favor with God, where we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear this life, the things of this life, because it is not our home. Hallelujah. We worship God, and one day we're going to worship God forever in heaven. And we'll be around his throne. We'll be in his presence forever and ever and ever. See, David had that revelation. God was alive and he was real. He knew that God was active in his life. And he worshiped him for it. Hallelujah. And my friends, that really explains why a lot of people have lost their praise. Got a little quiet in here. See, if you don't see God work, if you're not experiencing His power in your life, then you can get a little complacent. But when God is active in your life, when you step into His favor. Now, here's the awesome thing about it. Because the Bible teaches us this. It says, God is no respecter of persons. What He has done for one, He'll do for another. Hallelujah. He's no respecter of persons. If He's blessed one, He'll bless another. He offers it to everybody, every single person. That's why Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone opens the door, He said, I'm going to come in and He said, I'm going to sup with that person. In other words, I'm going to have communion, fellowship. That's what it means. I'm going to have fellowship, relationship with that person. See, David began to experience that. And that's why he had this incredible revelation that the Lord lives. God is alive. Hallelujah. And He was working. And He was experiencing His power. You know, I was just talking about this in our seniors meeting on Friday. That, King David, Bible says when the time was for the kings to go out to battle, David stayed at home on the sofa. Anybody ever stay at home on the sofa on Sunday morning? Don't answer that. I wonder if anybody stayed home on the sofa this morning. I bet there were some. Y'all call them, tell them I was talking about them. Amen. There's times I wish I could stay on the sofa. But I got to bring it every Sunday. Amen. I got to bring it every Sunday. And there's preparation has to go into that. There's prayer has to go into that. You can't get lazy on God. Come on, somebody. Amen. But it's so easy to. Right? You know, in our master bedroom, it's very dark in there. And cold. I'm telling you, there's a different temperature in that back bedroom. And I know on those early morning when I get up, I know I don't go in there and wake Becky. Because that would not be good. It has to be a certain time. Because y'all know the old saying, right? Queens need beauty sleep. You ladies ought to appreciate that. The men are saying, oh, boy. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Amen. I'm not going to go in there at 6 o'clock in the morning and say, Becky, did you know God's alive? He's working. Of all those 100 pairs of shoes, probably about 3 or 4 of them would. George Bush had to duck from a shoe. Y'all. I don't know why anybody want to be a politician. Get shoes thrown at you. Let me finish out. Here's the last thing. And this is so good. Because David was in pursuit of God's presence. Are you in pursuit of God's presence, my friends? Look at what Psalms 42 says. I'll give you two verses. Psalms 42 and verse 1. As a deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul is thirsting for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? As the deer pants for the water brooks, David had a thirst for God's presence. And his worship experience was based upon touching that presence. Let me give you another one. Psalms 27. This is the last one. I'll leave you with this one right here, and we're going to pray. Psalms 27. See, David had that revelation of salvation. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be." There it comes again. His confidence. His confidence. "In this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me." Do you understand what he is communicating here? He was talking about the depth of a relationship with God, and that his presence in his life was the most important thing to him. And David was in continuous pursuit of that presence. And he said, "He will hide me and he will set me high upon a rock." What does that mean? His favor. His favor is in my life. And because I am under his favor, it doesn't matter what hell throws at me. It doesn't matter what army encamps against me. It doesn't matter what war I have to go through. And none of that matters, because I am in the favor of my God. Hallelujah. And because I am in his favor, hell can't win. The devil is defeated. Every demon is a liar. Hallelujah. I will hide myself in the presence of my God, because David said he lives, and I know he lives, and I'm in his favor, and he's moving, he's working, and he's active.